Don't you look back. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look back on your burdens. Don't look back on your cares. Don't look back on your past. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Praise God. Look at the other person on the other side and say, don't you dare look back. Don't look back. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 19, verse 10. How many of y'all believe in the book of Genesis? Now, you got your two highlighters this morning? Those that want to be fed, you got your yellow highlighter, amen. Those that want to do their own thing, you got your black highlighter. You know that little black magic marker where you highlight the scriptures you don't like and you'll never see those again. Nah, you got to take it all. All right, now in Genesis chapter 19, verse 10. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to shut them and to shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. The angels of God pulled them into the house and shut the door. Well, you know there's a way that God helps you out. Do you understand that God can help you out in several different ways? That God wants to bless you and see you do well? But God will only bless you to the level that you let him. You know that? God will only hook you up to the level that you allow him to hook you up. Well, I tell you what, them being shut in the house was a blessing, wasn't it? Wasn't what God ultimately wanted to do, right? But at least was better than being on the outside of the door with them freaks on the outside of the door, amen? There are some people that need to be shut up inside the house and protected, amen? God will get you at times where you realize, well, what is going on with me? Why am I always in church? Somebody say, shut up inside the house. It's dark outside. Protection. Protection. Provision. So the first thing that God did for them is he closed them inside the house and protected them. And then the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? Sons-in-laws, and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Get them out of here. Circle this place. Here I said we were talking about abundance and blessing, all is in reference to where you are. That God, he supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So if we're in the right place, things will go well with us, right? When we're in the wrong place, things don't go so well. Amen? You know, the seed is on the inside of you, and where you plant that seed determines on how well it will do. You can get some corn seeds and stick them in good soil and fertilize that soil and water that soil, and that corn will come up, right? But you can take those same seeds and throw them in the middle of a parking lot, and they won't do a thing, will they? There's power in the corn, right? The seed, I mean, it's power to produce there, but where you put that thing, and where you plant and where that corn and where that seed dwells determines on how well it will do. Yes, that's right. And people are wondering, when am I going to get blessed? When am I going to get blessed? When God going to restore me? When is he going to do this? Please, Jesus, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. Jesus said, no, you are a blessing. You are a blessing. Find yourself a fertile place and a good place and plant yourself and dwell there so you can produce. There are many people that want to be blessed, but they get in themselves in circumstances and situations to where that seed will never come to anything. You've got to have the word. You want to know how to make a seed grow? How you want good crop? You know what you need? You need some good soil. You need to get your feet on the ground and get out of the clouds sometime. Amen? There are certain people that can't produce because they're so spiritual or so-called spiritual. Anybody ever seen a corn kernel growing in the sky? Anybody ever seen a tree growing in the air? I mean, you just look near the tree, what's floating in the air someplace. The air represents the heavenlies and the spiritual, right? Things are already so in the spirit, so you're not going to grow anything in the spirit. Guess what you got to do? You got to take that spiritual revelation and plant it on the ground. Get your feet on the ground. Now, people get to you and say, oh, hallelujah. Yeah, that's really nice, but it ain't going to do nothing until you put it on the ground. God had a will. The Father had a will for us, and the will was Jesus Christ and salvation. Amen? And he was in heaven. He said, look, I want to do something, but I've got to bring it to earth. So he himself, Jesus came down and put himself down here where we were and did something. You got to learn how to apply your spiritual revelation. Application to your revelation. God tells us great things. Yeah, the things that you see me doing in the natural started in the spirit. I've learned how to apply my spiritual revelation. Application to spiritual revelation. That's how we walk by faith. You get people all the time. I deal with ministers all the time that come and tell me everything that God wants to do. Yes, he wants to do it. Everything that God said. Then I say, well, what are you doing? Faith without works is dead, isn't it? Application of that spiritual revelation. So, this place, your placement means a lot. God, when God wants us to repent from different ways of living and different lifestyles, he's trying to get us on better soil, right? To where his word will produce in us. Don't hang up with them folk. Repent. Turn around. Get away from them. I mean, it's hard to produce anything with negative people. Somebody always talk in doubt and unbelief. God said, no, I'm trying to give you your blessing by trying to get you away from them so you'll be able to produce something. When God's trying to change you and to take you from one place to another place, he's trying to get you to the place where you can become what he said you should be. God's not giving us things and giving us things he's already given. It's already on the inside of you. Did you know that? Your future and your destiny is already within you. Praise God. He's not making it up as he goes along. He's already planned it. He said, for I know the plan that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and to give you an expected end, not to harm you. Glory to God. Say, my destiny's already decided. God put it together. And he's good. Say, I've already been hooked up. Praise God. Say, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. My destiny's already got it covered. I just got to get to the place to where that thing that God put on the inside of me will start to produce. I don't have to beg God anymore. He's already done the work. Praise God. I just got to be obedient and worship and let it happen. Notice that it said, whatsoever thou hast, get it out of this place. Get it out of this place. Isn't that a trip? There are certain things that are not producing just because of where you are. For we will destroy this place, they said. Because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. You know where you got to go? Where the Holy Ghost leads you. You got to understand that the thing that they were about to do was beyond Lot. He was moving in because something he decided already to do. It was already set. That was a doomed city. And some of us are sitting in doomsday places. And we think it's us. Why is God being so rough to me? You're always in the wrong town. You're always in a war zone someplace. Why are things always going bad? Why is it always raining? Some people are just like Slip Rock. Wherever he went, whoa, it's me. And there was always a storm cloud over his head and lightning bolts. Well, you're in a tropical place. You're in a place where it always rains. Get out of there. Just get out of there and get where God wants you to go. There's nothing wrong with you. He saved you, delivered you, and blessed you. There's a blessing on your life, not a curse on your life. Somebody said, well, I've got generational curses. No, not when you got the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. For we have the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. That's my lineage. I got a royal lineage. Amen. So say, it must not be me. It's got to be what I'm standing on. Why isn't this seed producing? Where is it planted? You plant in what you have confidence in. Some of you should be rejoicing just that you got seed. That's a good start. Whew, hallelujah. God's seed will grow. God's seed will grow. See, some people just want things to happen. But God uses that principle. Amen? Seeds. Seeds. Everything you want to get from God, it comes through seed. So Lot goes, God told him that. So Lot goes back and tries to speak to his son-in-laws. And they all thought he was joking. He said, God, just talk to me. He said, he's going to destroy this place. And we need to get out of here. And they all thought he was poking fun. They all thought that he was mocking and poking fun. Why? That might have been his character and his nature. Maybe he always mocked and poked fun. That when the real, and maybe he cried wolf so much that when the real wolf came, nobody wanted to believe him. You got to have a platform to preach from. I mean, he's always cracking jokes, and then he's going to try to do Shakespeare. He always acting like Eddie Murphy on the stage, and all of a sudden he's going to turn around and try to do William Shakespeare. Well, that's what it's like with certain believers sometimes. All of the relationships, all of our relationships, all of our friends, our children, everybody takes it for what we usually dwell in. We're always dwelling in a negative attitude, with negative attitude, negative confession, poking fun at people, poking fun at God, never taking God serious. Then all of a sudden you really forget the truth and you're going to try to tell somebody else. Nobody wants to believe you. So he reaped some of the wages of his... He lost his son-in-laws. I believe he lost his son-in-laws solely because they wouldn't believe him. They didn't take him seriously. And he lost them. What trouble? Go to verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot. The angels hastened him. Circle the word hasten. Say, come on, man. Come on. Nothing worse than people that are slow to grab hold of their blessings. Angel trying to hurry you up. God suddenly, all of a sudden, quickly. See, angels, they when they hear the word of God, they move suddenly at it. They respond quickly, amen? They like to do what God wants them to do right away. But then they get down here with mankind sometimes, and we like to take our time. We like to debate, question, try to figure it out and work it through. The angels then seen him for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. They trust him. They've learned to depend upon his word that when God says something, hey, look, they don't even think about it. They're moving right in that direction. But old Lot probably had about, let's say he was an old man. Let's just go overboard. Let's say Lot was about 100 years old, right? So he had 100 years of experience that he's going to have to depend on this God, which caused him to move slow. And they tried to hasten him to move suddenly. The angels hastened Lot, saying, underline the word saying. God hastens us with words. With words. The word of the Lord goes forth. You know, messages are preached. You'll turn on the TV. Somebody's preaching something. Your neighbor's preaching something. The same thing. I just heard that yesterday. Duh. My mama told me that when I was 10 years old. Somebody say, hasten them saying. He hastens us with his word. He hastens us with his words. Many people want circumstances to hasten them. They want the brimstone and fire and all that stuff to hasten them. Words should hasten us. We should be able to move quickly at the word of the Lord, at the word of God. When we hear it, we move. We don't have to wait till the ship is sinking before we jump aboard, before we get off the boat. His word hastens us. And you got to get that point. You know, you want to stay in blessing, get to the point to where you start to respond at the word of God, not at the situations and the circumstances. You got to learn to believe God before the thing comes to pass. Okay, you want me to go? I'll go. No questions asked. I'm gone. Hasten me with your word. Your word's enough. They didn't have to give you no details. He just said it, and that's it. I mean, like details. All right, God, we need to have a business meeting. Right, let me go down and be like Gideon and throw some fleeces out in the water. No, the problem is not you just don't want to go. You just don't want to go. All them people rolling with fleeces and all this other stuff, and let me pray about it another 5 years. We're still in prayer. Don't even pray. You just stay right where you are. You don't want to go. Look at somebody and say, just do it. Period, point blank. And he lingered. Oh, my word. The angel said, hasten Lot. They said, hasten Lot. Take your wife. Take your wife. Didn't debate your wife. Take your wife. Take him. I mean, come on. He said, look, man, get your stuff together and go. Many of us can't even get our kids to get in the car to go to church. Don't debate your children to church. Take them. Take them. You got authority. Put a tie around their neck and a foot on their rear end and then take them. See, that's the problem with certain people. They wonder why their kids are all messed up. Their wife's messed up. Their husband's messed up. Everything's all messed up. Because you're sitting up there trying to play mind games with people. Take them. This is Sodom and Gomorrah time. Take them. Get them out of that city. Get them out of that place. Don't got no time for that stuff. Hasten. The days are evil. The Lord is coming soon. Take them. Well, I'm going to work this little trick, and I'm going to work that little trick. We're just going to see what happens. Yeah, you're going to see what happens, all right. Oh, yeah, you'll see. Hasten. Which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Lord, have mercy. It wasn't Lot, it was the place where he was. Get out of that spot. God's going to blow that spot up. Well, he's going to blow me up. He's going to blow that spot up. Well, he's going to do that to me. He's going to blow that place up. That place is not blessed. Why, Lord? Why me? Some of us are standing in places, sitting in circumstances. God is not going to bless that stuff. That place is not blessed. The word is spoken over it. Get out of that place. Get out of the flesh and get over to the spirit. I don't care how much you pray, how much you plead and all this other stuff. That place is going down. And God's trying to get you out of that place. Verse 16. And while he lingered. Anybody catch? You know, they said hasten. He lingered. You got those two? They said hasten. He lingered. Why did he linger? He wanted to stay. He wanted to stay. The men laid hold. Somebody say, the men laid hold. Upon his hand. And upon the hand of his wife. And upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him. You understand, Lot should have been torched in the city. But Abraham had a promise. And that was mercy. Mercy. Mercy means that he deserved to go down in the city. And God said, no, you too dumb to realize this place is going down, so I'm going to lay my hands on you. There are certain people, God's pulled you out of some stuff. Literally, your decisions would have kept you there and destroyed you, but God got a hold of you and pulled you out of stuff. They laid hold on them. At that point, they stopped talking to him. They said, look, this is it. I'm going to get my job done. You're going to be disobedient, but God told me to get you out of here, and you're going. I ain't messing with you. You know, this is it. You know, I'm not going to vote on it. Well, he got a free will, all this other stuff. And he just said, look, I'm getting my job done. You're getting out of here, and I'm getting out of here. You're going. They laid hold on him. That means there are certain people God going to get you out of some stuff. Some of y'all are in some circumstances and situations. You just need to say a little prayer. God, lay your hand on me. He'll get you out if you want to come out. So they laid their hands upon them. They took hold on them, right? The Lord being merciful to them and sent him without the city. Isn't that nice? Those angels, okay, they got a hold of them, grabbed them, and got them out of the place that God was going to torch. They said, I ain't going to take them to the promised land. I ain't going to take them. I'm just going to get them out of this man. Needs to be, you know, forget it. You know, you get what I'm saying? I believe these angels were through with those brothers and sisters. It was one of those things that you could just not figure out. There's one of those scriptures where the angel said, what is man that thou art mindful of them? The angel just said, oh, they're out of the city, that's it. You know, let's go on. They just got them out. It might have been a desert out there anyplace. They said, they're out, we're gone. He didn't say, take them over to blessing. He didn't say, do all. He said, just get them out. And I'm out of here, amen? Amen? I bet you some of you got angels that are assigned to you that are very unhappy. Many of the angels put you before your promise and ditched you. Speak to the next angel and said, I got them this far, the rest is you. Boy, it took me a long time to get him out of them tarot cards. Ditched you. Took me a long time to get him out of tradition and religion. Ditched you. And it came to pass. Did you see that scripture? And it came to pass. Lot got out of the way, and it came to pass. What was the it? that the place that Lot was in was going to be torched. See, it was a God thing. It was beyond Lot. It was a God thing. And Lot up there playing games with God, thinking it's all about me. And it's all, you know, that song we used to sing, I'm going back to the heart about worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you. Anybody ever heard that song? And well, some people sing this really in their heart. I'm going back to doing what I want to do because it's all about me, and it's all about me. There are certain things God's leading you in that's not about you. It's things that he's planned for cities. It's things that he's planned over. So he's got a plan. He's trying to get you together so you can go along with his plan. It came to pass. And the thing that came to pass, he was torching that place. Many people think, now surely God wouldn't destroy the earth. He's a nice man. He's a nice man. He wouldn't send all those people to hell and blow this place up. He wouldn't do that. He's too nice. He wouldn't do that. Yes, he would. And you go with it if you decide to stay. You can go down and smoke too. Watch him. You don't have to go. Somebody say, well, God sent anybody to hell? No, people go with it. People go first class. People buy tickets and go first class. Yes. Surely he's going to let me in. Mm-hmm. He didn't send his son to die on the cross, bleed. He didn't send his son to do all that stuff to play guessing games with you, to debate his plan. When you start debating, would he really do that? Would he really send his son to the earth to die? Yes. And if he did that to his son, do you think he's going to play with your little stuff? No. People are a trip. I mean, people are just, you catch people thinking things and going to things, and they just don't get it. This man then sent his son to die for you. And you want him to change the whole plan because you want to stay in a cursed place. And he lingered. And the men laid hold upon him and set them outside of the city. And it came to pass, when they were brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape. He said, see, they were ditching him. He said, now you escape now. I got you out of the city. They run. I'm going to give you a hint. Run. Run. See, that's the thing with certain people. Certain people come out of circumstance, they refuse to run. You got to come out and run. You got to come out and run. Just coming out of your slop and your mess is not enough. You got to run until you reach the promised land. Don't just come out. See, they just came out of Egypt and went into the wilderness. They come out. They would have come out of Egypt, got in the wilderness, and run. They would have gotten there. Let me tell you something, saints. If you don't have a mind to run, you ain't going to get to the promised land. It's a race. It's a race. And every morning you wake up, you say, I'm running to the promised land. I'm not arrived yet. I just escaped hell, and I'm not there yet. Saved, thank God, and I got the ability to go on. I'm delivered, but I'm running on to get my promise. There's a whole lot more to apprehend. There's a whole lot more to grab a hold of. And children of Israel out there in the wilderness for 40 years, stuck up tents, tent dwellers. You better run. That's why we did that song. When I think of his goodness and what he's done for me, think of Jesus, how he set me free. I want to run all night. I just don't want to run in church, and that's nice, but it ain't going to do nothing for me. I want to run in life. Yeah. I want to run to my destiny. Yeah. Don't want to walk, don't want to linger, don't want to be slow. I want to suddenly grab a hold of what God's got for me. He's coming back, and he said I would be able to prosper here on earth. Well, if he's coming, I better hurry up. I'm trying to get everything on earth that he said I should have before he gets here. Amen. Because I ain't got much longer. You need to think of it that way. So, oh, it's going to take you a long time. Better hurry up. I mean, I believe he's going to be back in the next 5 years. And he said, run. Escape for your life. Look not behind you. Don't look behind you. Run and don't look back. That's the word of the Holy Ghost to you this morning. Run and don't look back. Anybody gone and seen a race? When they pass the baton, they're sitting there. Then what happened when they grabbed that baton and they ran and they were running, trying to win a race going like this the whole time? How fast can you go running like that? How fast can you go looking behind you? You look crazy. You got a lot of crazy looking Christians running into everything because they're looking behind them. You can't run looking behind. You can't run. It's just a pathetic, sad sight. I mean, it's just a disgrace. Backwards, Christians running with their head turned around backward. Neither stay thou in the plain. Say, don't stay in the plain. See? That's the word of the Holy Ghost to you. Now, you need to come out of some stuff, but don't stay in the plain. Don't just stay where you came out of. Don't warn from there. Many people think, I just got saved, and I'm ready to just launch right here and tell Jesus to come on and just came out of Egypt. And I'm right at Egypt's door. I'm out in the wilderness, and I'm just waiting for Jesus. He's going to pick you up in the promised land, people. Don't stay in the plain. Go on from there. So they told him, escape, run, and get out of the plain. Neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain. Wow. The word of God to them was what? Escape to the mountain. Lest thou be consumed. That's the word of God. Now you notice that before, Lot wanted to do things his own way, but the hand of God got him out of it. If they didn't grab a hold of him, they probably would have been consumed. And the promise was that he wouldn't go down in that. It was a promise to Abraham. But they got him out of that by the hand. Somebody say that grace and that mercy. Then that mercy got him out of the ditch that they should have been drowned in. Mercy. Here they get the word again. And they didn't develop themselves not to respond to the word, but to respond to things physically forcing them to do stuff. The command was, don't stay in the plain, but go on to where? To the mountain. To the mountain. Lest thou be consumed. Period, point blank. Then Lot said, you want to know about these pathetic sights again? When we're talking about people that are running with their head behind them, why do you think Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt? It was just a sad sight to see somebody running with their head turned around backwards. Salt. It was just a disgrace. Just stop it, please. I just can't take no more. Salt! Then Lot said, he got the word, then Lot said, oh, not so. Isn't that a trip? Wonder his kids didn't want to go with him. Wonder their sons-in-law wanted to stay there, you know, and say, oh, you must be, he's a trip. I mean, always playing games. Here, God told him something, gave him a word, then he's going to turn around and say, oh, not so. Oh, not so. My Lord. That was a lie, too. My Lord. Your Lord tells you where to go, and you do it with no questions asked. He must not have knew who that was. Oh, not so, my Lord. And there are many people that are like that today. Oh, not so, my Lord. Many will say, Lord, Lord. And you say, you know, I don't even know you. Problem was, Lot didn't know him. And that's why, because he didn't know him, he said, oh, no, Lord. Oh, not so, Lord. Thank God that salt angel wasn't around. His poor wife just got toe up for looking back. And here this man calling God a liar. Grace. Grace. Lest thou be consumed. Oh, no, not so, Lord. That's all of that. That's the nations today. You see people up there playing games with God. You turn on the TV stations, everybody mocking God, mocking the things of God and saying all those other things. They're all doing the same thing Lot said. Oh, not so. Okay. Behold now, Lot said. He tried to, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. You certainly have, brother. And thou hast magnified thy mercy. 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 Grace and mercy. Thank God for grace and mercy. Amen. Why don't you do something with it and start to walk by faith because of that grace and mercy? Stop using grace and mercy to get you out of ditches and use it to take you over to the promised land. Amen. Which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape. As his faith is, so be it unto him. He had already escaped, right? And yet he was in this next place. He said, look, I can't go on any farther from this. I cannot escape. He was in the plain and he said, no, you're a lie. I cannot escape to the mountain. There are many people that God's trying to lead you up to a mountaintop. To mount upon wings as eagles and go all the way. Don't stop halfway. Don't just get a little Christian step, tug a little Bible in your purse. Go all the way with what God said you should be and have and become. Some people say they just got at the cross, keep me near the cross. Not me. Jesus went to the cross and gave me the ability, and he got up and left it, and so am I. And I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But the Bible says I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. He's no longer on the cross. He's resurrected and sitting at the right hand of God. Amen. Go all the way. Many churches stuck today. I bet you countless thousands of them out there. They keep me near the cross. And they're cross with everybody. But we need to go on beyond that. Go on to the deeper things of God. Go on with Jesus. Go on to becoming what God said you should be. Leave that place. You had to leave that Calvary and go on to the Jerusalem, to the upper room. Get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And don't stay in the upper room. Get on out to the city and have revival. Glory to God. And don't just stay there. Go on up to heavenly places. Go on up. Go on. Go on. Somebody say, how could you say that? Ain't nobody there at Calvary but tourists. It's the truth. People get mad. The cross didn't do it. The one giving his life did it. And he's on the inside. Don't stay there. He wanted to settle for less. God wanted to take him to the mountain. He found a city and said, look at the little one. God wanted to give him the best. He wanted to take him to a high mountain, to a big place, a blessed place, a prosperous place. He said, look, I can't get that. Just give me this little thing. Just give me a little something. Just look at this little city over here. Just give me a little city. I'll take that. No, God, you go where God wants you to go. And what God plans for you is a lot better than what you plan for yourself. His plans are higher than your ways, greater than your things. Don't you take less when God says you should have the best. Amen. He said, you get to the mountain. He would have gotten you to the mountain. He got you out of that other place. He'll take you all the way. God was trying to get him to the mountaintop, and he wanted to stay at a little place. And God said, okay, that's what you want. That's what you got. Do you see that in the Word? Do y'all see the same thing I see? I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now this city. What you're looking at is what you're going to get. He should have been looking to the mountain and not looking back. And he was sitting around looking at the little city. He said, behold this little city. See, along the way, we always get distracted by things along the way and want to plant there. Now, you should have been looking at the mountain, looking straight ahead. And he said, now behold this little city over here. See, his wife's head was all the way back looking at the one that was burned up, going down. That's crazy. And God said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this. Basically, that word accepting him, also he said, I forgive you concerning this. You know, I looked up that word, and that word can be also changed into forgive you. He said unto him, see, I forgive thee concerning this, or I accept thee concerning this thing also. I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Isn't that nice? Ooh, he got a cursed city to keep. Hallelujah. Ooh, God is so good. I'm going to let you live in the pit. I'm not going to destroy the pit. I'm going to let you live there. This is a place that I had intended to tear up because it was no good. And I wanted to tear this stuff up, but for you, I'm just going to let it go on forever. I'll let it endure and let you have it. Amen? There was better for him. There was better for him. There was better for him. And he settled for less. Haste thee, for I cannot do anything till thou come in. See, this whole thing was beyond him. It was a promise to Abraham that God had bound himself to. Lot would have been torched if it wasn't for the promise to Abraham. He said, I can't do anything until I get you out of here. Go on and get out of the way so I can get to the one I want to bless. Go on. Yeah, just haste, quickly move out of the way so I can find Abraham, a man of faith that I can bless. Go on, take that little less thing. Get out of the way. And let me find somebody that will hear my voice and obey. Abraham heard the voice of God and obeyed God, left Ur of the Chaldeans and went on to a land which he did not know. He didn't have to figure it out, guess it out. He just started walking in it. Amen. God said, okay, that's enough of this. Take it. Give me Abraham. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? And he took his little city. Isn't it sad? Well, that's the same thing for us. Let's not look back. Let's listen to the Word of God and put our eyes in the Spirit and put our eyes on what He says we should be and what we should become and what we can have. Let's not be slow to grab a hold of the promises of God. And let's not linger. And let's go all the way. Say, don't look back. Keep running. Have a mind to go all the way.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. We bless your holy name. Bless you, Jesus.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in the Woodlands, Texas.